Here we go.
Dr. Evil, we have a problem.
This is gonna be cool.
I mean, after all, you're nerds.
They look like a couple of dorks.
Perfect. We couldn't have planned this better.
As of this moment, they're on double secret probation.
What's happening? Hot stuff?
These nerds are a threat to our way of life.
What? English! Do you speak it?
Yes!
Then you know what I'm saying!
Yes!
And welcome to the Sports Report. I'm Packer Dave. Glad to be with you today. We'll be bringing in John Poulter from Toronto in a few minutes here on the program. We'll talk NHL with him and also Premier League soccer. And in this segment, a lot on the NFC North and the NFL. Steve Leventhal from SRN Broadcasting will be joining us. He visits Hallis Hall each week, and he has some insight as to what's going on with the Chicago Bears. Also, Dan Wiederer, the Bears beat reporter for the Chicago Tribune, will join us and talk about the Bears, who had a very impressive win against the Los Angeles Rams in Chicago on Sunday Night Football, 15-6. The Bears hold the Rams to 6 points. Todd Gurley, 28 yards on 11 carries, and Jared Goff with a 19.1 passer rating. That's pretty good defense against this potent offense. And I think the Bears really showed the nation something with that performance on Sunday night. So we'll talk about it with Steve and Dan Wiederer from the Chicago Tribune. Green Bay posts a nice win against the Atlanta Falcons. Decisive win at Lambeau Field. At 5-7-1, the way the other teams in the NFC have been losing, the Packers still have a playoff chance, especially the way the Vikings lost last night against the Seattle Seahawks in Seattle, 21-7, and that was a garbage touchdown Minnesota got at the end of the game. They were completely dominated, and Seattle moves up and, you know, is really secure in that first round, that first wild card slot. That second one is up for grabs. You got the Eagles, you got the Panthers, you got the Redskins, all at 6-7. The Vikings at 6-6-1, and Green Bay at 5-7-1. So Green Bay could actually make the playoffs if they win the rest of their games and Minnesota loses two of their last three. But the Packers have the Bears at Soldier Field this coming week, and that should be a really good game. That's a noon Central Time kickoff at Soldier Field, and it has meaning. It should be nice for the Bears to knock Green Bay off and just put the dagger in their playoff hopes. But it would be kind of a big win for Green Bay if they were able to go into Chicago and beat the Bears, who are red hot right now. All right, so let's listen to Aaron Rodgers after the game against Atlanta, what he said to his team going into the game, and then he singles out some individual performances. Here's Aaron Rodgers.
I just was trying to have fun out there and lead and inspire. I had a little maybe extra messages this week for the guys on game day, and just a couple more reminders about how special the opportunities are, and let's not let this one slip away regardless of what our record is. I'm not saying that probably has nothing to do with the way we played, but the guys knew basically by the way I was playing, I was willing to put my body on the line. I took a couple shots. I was dealing with a little bit of a sore back, but I like the way that we fought up front. I like the way that we ran the ball with both Jamal and Jones. Obviously, love having Randall out there making plays, and everybody kind of contributed from the first drive on. You look at the first drive, obviously Devontae had a couple nice plays, but 19 had a couple catches and 83 had a couple catches, and Randall had a nice hot adjustment. That one felt great. Felt like we were in a great rhythm down the field and an important drive for us to get going.
Yeah, Aaron Rodgers just talking there about the different players, Devontae Adams, Randall Cobb coming back, and of course the good play of Aaron Jones, who has the highest rushing average in the National Football League of the runners that, are predominant and do it a lot. But with Aaron Jones, you know, against that Atlanta defense, you could have had Shirley Jones in there. And it would not have mattered. Also, Aaron Rodgers, most consecutive passes without an interception. He breaks Tom Brady's record. And you got to give him a lot of credit for that. I mean, even though they've had a tough season, Rodgers' play has been pretty good overall. And setting that record, that's going to be a hard one to break. So the Packers do have a chance for the playoffs. Their chances of getting to the playoffs are about those of me winning the NBA slam dunk competition. But they're still there. Now let's listen to interim coach Joel Philbin. He had to be pretty happy with what happened there. And he says that he had support from President Mark Murphy, GM Brian Gutekunst, and the rest of the Packer organization going into his first game, and he gets a win. Here's Philbin.
Everybody couldn't have been more supportive of me. Mark, Brian, Russ, you know, it's more like whatever you need to be successful. Everybody was super supportive. And, again, we attempted to put together the best plan and utilize the players that we have. It certainly wasn't perfect, wasn't called perfect, certainly wasn't executed perfect. But the guys, as we like to say, I thought they played kind of Green Bay Packer football.
All right, now let's bring in Steve Leventhal from SRN Broadcasting in Chicago. He went to Hallis Hall on Monday, and in addition to the interview with Dan Wiederer, which we'll hear in just a few minutes, he has some audio from the Bears and the Rams game. Steve, welcome to the show.
Hey, Packer Dave. You know, you keep talking about playoffs. I so want to break out that, that playoffs, little Jim Mora.
It's beat to death.
This Bears team, I mean, they're just aching for revenge against the Packers. You know, they still talk about that loss in opening night of the season.
Yeah, well, that was a nice comeback win for Aaron Rodgers in Green Bay on opening night. And that was a Sunday night game, too. But the Bears, I'll tell you, that defense really looked impressive against the Los Angeles Rams. What stood out to you?
Well, if I can even backtrack a second, just overall, the whole notion of the defense, when Matt Nagy came in, he brought in his offensive coordinators, but the only person who stayed holdover from the John Fox regime was Vic Fangio. So, of course, he's known some of these guys who have been here for a while, like Akeem Hicks and McManus and a lot of the other players on defense. So they're buying into the system. And the other thing that's been a big factor is, up until recently, that offense could not stay on the field. They finally got a core receivers. They finally got a solid offensive line, even though Kyle Long has been hurt most of the season. The rest of the line has been fairly stable. So the offense
was all defense. It was all defense. The offense only scored 15 points, right?
Well, the Rams' defense is pretty good, too. Short. Aaron Donald, Ndamukong Suh, they've got a good defense, too. But, yes, the fact that the Rams, who've been averaging about 35 points a game, didn't even get into the end zone. Basically, and we'll hear Sean McVay in a second, the Bears schemed for him, and they threw a lot of different things. He was not prepared for that defense. But I will bet you if they meet again, especially if the game is in Los Angeles, it's probably going to be a little bit more higher scoring.
Well, I would think so. And maybe, the Rams had a bad night. That's for sure. Okay. So let's take in some of this audio and let's start with McVay.
Right. So he talks basically about how Chicago really game planned for his offense.
They did a great job. And again, Vinny, I really think, based on some of the different things that they presented to us, they had an outstanding game plan I didn't really put us in the good spots based on what they were presenting to be able to get going. And then, we had the one drive where you get a little bit going and then we kind of have the false start where we end up getting to second and 15. But, we'll end up learning from this. But you give credit to the Bears. They did an outstanding job. Coach Fangio mixed it up really well, presented some different personnel grouping, some different things on the back end. And they were the better team tonight.
Okay. Also, Coach Nagy, one of the things that he talks about is how they basically leveraged field position with the special teams. They would go in knowing that they could punt even from they're on their own 45 or 50 yard line because they knew they could hold the Rams in check. And so here's Coach Matt Nagy.
That defensive line is stout now. They're quick. They're stout. They got great players, great scheme. And so I give a lot of credit to Coach Hiestand and that offensive line. And of course, the running backs, the tight ends, et cetera. And then special teams. I thought that game last night became a game of field position. just knowing that there weren't a lot of touchdowns being scored, it was important to make sure that offensively you protect the football, give our defense a chance to pin their ears back a little bit once we had that lead, and that's what we did.
Lastly, quarterback Mitch Trubisky, he did not exactly have his best game, but what he talks about here is controlling the line of scrimmage. Here's Mitch Trubisky.
They're playing a lot of zone, and they're playing really soft defense. They can take away some of our downfield throws, and just we spread them out a little bit, and I think the O-line did a great job controlling the line of scrimmage, open up holes for Jay, and Jay ran his tail off, man. That's what we expect out of 2-4, man. It kind of like the defense, he made up his mind tonight when he touched the ball that he was going to be he was just going to run hard and finish runs and pick up tough yards for this offense. So I'm very proud of him and the offensive line and how they were able to be a big part of this win tonight.
So let's take a look around the rest of the NFL, Steve, and in the NFC in particular, because that's what we talk about here mostly on this show. You've got some teams vying for playoff berths. The Saints and the Rams, they're solid. The Vikings now, they're the last of the NFC wildcard teams, the second team right now. The Bears look solid in the NFC North. So now you've got, these other teams. And in the East, Dallas, a nice overtime win against the Philadelphia Eagles. The Eagles played pretty well. But you've got the Redskins are done, okay? They don't have a quarterback, so they'd be lucky to win another game.
They don't have an offensive line. They don't have a defense.
Well, when you don't have a quarterback, it all falls away. You have the Carolina Panthers, who have dropped 4 in a row. Where's Superman now? You know, this is, you see this guy, Cam Newton, out there, hot dogging it when they're good. Where is he now? 4 games in a row. This is putting Ron Rivera's job, I would think, in a little bit of jeopardy. So they don't look that good.
And it's a shame because they're basically taking, just a wonderful year for McCaffrey, and it's, you're right, going down the toilet.
And of all these teams right now that are in the wild card hunt, I think Philadelphia looks the best. Seattle is solid there. So really all that we're looking at here is that last wild card. And I think Philadelphia looks the best. Although if Green Bay can continue to play like they have, they could probably win if they got the Bears, of course, and that's tough. That's going to be tough. But they could probably win 3 games and get in. But the Vikings have to lose 2, so that's going to be a tall order. But in the NFC, I see the Eagles picking up that last playoff slot. But, Steve, your observations of the NFC and around the NFL?
Well, I can't disagree. You said the Panthers are on the decline. The Eagles are hot. The Redskins definitely not. But, yeah, I mean, look at the Packers. They're only, a couple games out of it? Yes, Seattle's pretty solid there. They wouldn't really have to stumble to fall out of that position. I just can't believe the Vikings, with all that offensive talent, maybe they don't have their strongest running back as they'd like to be, but, boy, wide receiver, quarterback, they're solid.
Well, why do you think they're solid at quarterback? Just because he got paid a lot of money, he has his good games and bad games, and so far that's the thing that you haven't seen from Kirk Cousins is consistency. He played well against Green Bay both games, but the consistency isn't there, and that game on Monday night, boy, what a dud for the Vikings, and you're right. Adam Thielen, you've got Stephon Diggs, who's one of my favorite players. They've got talent at those positions. Kyle Rudolph is a good tight end. They didn't put it together the other night. Maybe they'll rally and play well. I don't see them going deep into the playoffs.
Well, their last game of the season is against the Bears, so I'm sure they're going to need that game to get into the wild card. And, the Bears want to I'm not sure if they have a shot at home field with the Rams and the Saints doing so well, but they obviously want to get a home game in the playoffs if they can for the second round. So they're going to try to win that game.
Okay, before we move to the Dan Wiederer interview, Steve, take us into the AFC and what stands out to you there.
Well, Kansas City. Wow, they're unbelievable. And Mahomes, if you saw some of the same highlights that I did, throwing on the run, throwing across the field, sort of no-look passes, I'm blown away. Wow, he is just incredible.
Yeah, and the game Thursday night, the Chiefs and the Chargers, is going to be a good one. Sometimes they get duds on those Thursday night games, but this one's certainly one to watch. So, you know,
yeah, how about the Chargers? I mean, look at their season. They're going to have they probably have the second best win total in the AFC, and they're going to end up being a wild card.
The Steelers not looking very good lately. I am hoping for the Miami Dolphins to have a good performance against Minnesota this week in Minnesota, and maybe steal a game up there. Then that puts the Vikings, if that were to occur, in a really precarious position, because yeah, they have to beat the Bears the last week of the season. So a lot of different scenarios developing. All right, let's
Ravens, if you don't mind me sort of interjecting, yeah, they're also looking pretty solid. About Lamar Jackson, you know, with the Flacco coming back, now the Ravens have some decisions to make, because Lamar Jackson has looked pretty good.
Yeah, but they lost, right, last week?
They lost to Kansas City.
Yeah, okay.
In overtime.
Right. Let's move on to this interview. Steve caught up with Dan Wiederer, the Bears beat reporter for the Chicago Tribune, at Halas Hall on Monday. Here's Steve Leventhal and Dan Wiederer.
Let's talk about the ramifications of Sunday night's game, and basically which the Bears defense held a pretty potent Rams offense out of the end zone for an entire game.
I think it's twofold. I think first and foremost, we're seeing that anything is possible for the 2018 Bears. When you take an offense as high-powered as the Rams, a team that was 11-1 coming into the night, and you dominate them for four quarters, it shows you that you can dream the biggest of dreams without having to pinch yourself. It's not out of the question that this Bears team could get hot and make a run through January and suddenly start eyeing a run to the Super Bowl, which is crazy to think about at this point. And I think the other part of it is just understanding that this team knows what got them here. And the way they have played defense this year, the way the defense has taken over and once again got on a big stage Sunday night in primetime and played the way they did, shows you that this team is a fearless team with great talent, great cohesion, and more than anything, great confidence to do what they need to do.
And you know as well as I have, we've been here, we've heard the discussions about this being the year of the offense, the high-powered offense. But if anything, Sunday night showed that it doesn't have to be that way.
It's a special thing to watch this defense play, and I think we'd be remiss not to start by talking about Vic Fangio, who has great respect from all of his players, is a respected coordinator throughout the league, and obviously understands how, in this era of offense, as you mentioned, to take apart an opponent. Each week, Vic has done a great job this year of understanding what the opponent does best and finding ways to put a straitjacket around that. Obviously, they did a wonderful job Sunday night against the Rams. Todd Gurley comes into the night as the NFL's leading rusher. He leaves with 28 yards on 11 carries. That is a testament to the talent that the Bears put out on defense. It's a testament to their ability to subscribe to Fangio's game plan. It's a testament to Vic's ability to see those things. And so this defense is full of talent, and it's very well coached, and that's why this team is 9-4 right now.
And yet, on the other hand, you know, the defense wouldn't be able to do what it does if the offense weren't able to stay on the field, and what a difference it makes when Mitch Trubisky can get into a ballgame.
Well, yeah, certainly I think the Bears need Mitch to be at his best down the stretch run here and then in January. Yes, we are talking about January football here in Chicago once again, which is amazing to say. But the Bears are going to need Mitch to be a lot sharper than he was Sunday night against the Rams. They're not going to be able to afford three turnover performances in the playoffs. They obviously got away with it Sunday night because their defense came to play once again and for the sixth game this year scored points. Eddie Goldman's safety was the sixth time this year that the Bears' defense has scored points. Well, guess what? They're 5-1 in games where the defense scores. And so eventually the offense is going to have to pick up its slack and do things. And that's going to be on Mitch Trubisky to get himself in a rhythm down the stretch of the season and create momentum heading into the playoffs.
Speaking of offense, we have the Packers coming in this weekend. They're certainly going to need that offense despite the Packers' struggles. And you know as well as I do, this is always a big game.
It's Aaron Rodgers, right? And Aaron Rodgers has tormented this organization and this team for years and years and years. And we saw it in week one this year where the Bears built that huge 20-0 lead and ended up losing a game because Aaron Rodgers got into an Aaron Rodgers groove and made magic happen in Lambeau Field. I don't think any of us imagined that night when we left Green Bay that the Bears would be the team sitting at 9-4 and the Packers would be scuffling with a coaching change and be 5-7-1. Obviously, they come to town off a big win against the Falcons. Aaron Rodgers is still Aaron Rodgers. The defense is going to have to be sharp, and the Bears need to use this game to do what they've done all season and clear hurdles that they haven't been able to clear in the past. We talked about coming into the year, they hadn't won three games in a row since 2013. cleared that hurdle. Talked about the 10-game losing streak they had in the NFC North. Well, they went out and beat the Lions, the Vikings, and the Lions in a 12-day span and showed that they could clear that hurdle. The next hurdle on the checklist, beating Aaron Rodgers and the Packers.
All right, so let me turn the tables down a little bit. You do a podcast on the Tribs website with your colleague Rich Campbell. Tell me what it's been like being in sort of our end of the game.
Podcasting, obviously, is a fairly new wrinkle in our business, and I think it's a lesson for all of us that we kind of have to meet, A, the audience's appetite for information and insight, and B, meet them where they are. Obviously, as somebody in the newspaper business my whole career, you're trained to sort of think about the newspaper. Well, in the last 6, 7, 8, 9 years, now you have to have a digital approach to things. You have to have a worldly approach to saying, how can we get our audience the maximum amount of information in the right forums that they're interested in listening to? So it's been a fun sort of journey for us to kind of go down that path, to be able to sound out each week, to analyze this team's evolution and growth in a different way than we have in the past. And so hopefully it's been well received, and hopefully it's another way for fans to learn about a team that, oh, by the way, is in first place and headed back to the playoffs.
When we come back, and thank you very much to Steve and Dan on that interview, we'll have John Poulter from Toronto talking NHL hockey and Premier League soccer with Steve on the program. I'm Packer Dave with Steve Leventhal. It is the Sports Report. John Poulter coming up next.
Have you ever been turned down because of bad credit? Don't let your dreams disappear. Just call us at National Credit Advisor today and see how much we can help boost your credit score. We've helped thousands repair their credit so they can finally start qualifying for the purchases they've been dreaming about. Stop being held back from getting the things you want. Call 800-605-3081 to see how much we can help your credit score, no matter how bad it is. Call now, 800-605-3081. That's 800-605-3081.
Hi, this is Bart Shore, and I want to invite you to try the new streaming radio app from Internet FM. It features 24 online radio stations playing nothing but rock and roll. No annoying pop-up ads, little or no commercial breaks, and best of all, no sign-up required. Simply download Internet FM from the Apple Store or Google Play, and it's ready to go. Just pick your favorite station and assign it to any of the 18 programmable buttons. That's the new Internet FM app on Apple or Google Play. Download it today.
Oh, well, he's very popular. The sportos, the motorheads, geeks, sluts, bloods, wastoids, dweebies, airheads. They all adore him. They think he's a righteous dude.
Hello again, everyone. This is yours truly. That's right, Howard Cosell back again. The mind clear, the body agile, talking to the likes of Pack-a-Dave. Pack-a-Dave, it's time to get over it. That's right. Meredith was right, Pack-a-Dave. The Green Bay Packers were lucky. That's right. And yours truly is here once again to tell it like it is. Even though I say the greatness of Vincent T. Lombardi and Fordham U and the seven blocks of granite were the greatest team of all time.
You know, the Packers were not lucky. That was a skillful win and a decisive one. And I don't even think that's the real Howard Cosell, because he's passed away. So, but a funny guy.
Passed on, ceased to be.
Nonetheless. That's the interrupting voice of Steve Leventhal from SRN Broadcasting in Chicago. I'm Packer Dave. It is the Sports Report. And now we bring in from Toronto our friend John Poulter. John, welcome to the show today.
Thank you very much, Dave. How are you today?
All right. Doing very well. How about you, Steve? You're looking good.
I am? Well,
yeah, well, kind of, yeah.
Yes, I am.
Okay.
I'm doing better than that Howard Cosell.
All right, hey, John, let's look at the NHL, and right now, let's touch on the teams that you think are hot and doing well in the National Hockey League.
Well, the number one team right now, both at the top of the standings and in terms of how they're playing right at the moment, has got to be the Tampa Bay Lightning. They're leading the league with 49 points. That's 8 points ahead of the Toronto Maple Leafs, who are number two, and incidentally, those two teams meet on Thursday night in Tampa. Tampa's also won 7 games in a row. They're 9-1 in their last 10. Their goal difference is plus 39, and they've scored 130 goals. So you add all of those things up, and you're looking at success without question. Washington, starting to make a move. Washington, although they've only won two in a row, they're now sitting at the top of the Metropolitan Division, 8-2 in their last 10, 37 points from 29 games. They're starting to show us what they're made of. Nashville has been there all season, although they've lost their last two games. Colorado, a bit of a surprise in that division. Calgary, a bit of a surprise in the Pacific. Those are the positive stories. The negative stories, the Florida Panthers, last in the Atlantic Division, not where we expected them to be. St. Louis and Chicago, two teams that in recent years have been very good, all of a sudden find themselves at the bottom of the Central. And of course, the Los Angeles Kings sitting at the bottom of the Pacific with all of those older players, all of those bigger contracts, and just not doing the job.
Well, we touched on it last week in your neck of the woods. The Maple Leafs doing all right, and so are the Buffalo Sabres. And that's good for the city of Buffalo, too, as the Bills aren't doing that well right now.
Oh, it's an excellent story. Although Buffalo has come a bit of a cropper the last couple of weeks. They've lost five in a row after showing very well, but they still sit third in that very strong Atlantic Division. Lost a tight game to the Toronto Maple Leafs last Tuesday night. Buffalo, still a very good team, but I think they're starting to come back a little bit. I don't think they'll go right back to where we've seen them the last two or three years, and that's pretty close to the bottom of the league. But I think they are going to level out, and I think we're starting to see that now. They played 30 games, got 38 points. They're only plus three in the goals plus and against, which is not a very positive number when you look at it. But as I said, lost five in a row, not a good trend. They have to write that. They have to write that fairly quickly if they want to stay in this thing.
And John, like you alluded to here in Chicago, we got a team that is literally, you know, just kind of fallen off a cliff here. They fired their manager. We talked about that. Kind of makes you wonder if they got rid of the wrong executive. And you also wonder about the heavy hand of Scotty Bowman here and basically keeping his son in the general manager's position, and they let the coach go.
Well, as I said when we first talked about this a few weeks ago, Steve, I'm not suggesting they fired the wrong man. I just think that firing Joel Quenneville was the wrong decision. This is a team that needs strong guidance. It needs an experienced coach. With all due respect to Mr. Colleton, who's proved that he can win in Europe, he's proved he can win in the American Hockey League. I'm not sure he's ready for the NHL yet, and certainly not for such a huge project as rebuilding the Chicago Blackhawks in a very huge market. They're sitting seventh in the Central Division now, dead last in the NHL with the lowest number of wins at 9, 23 points. They're 1-9 in their last 10, and a horrendous 7-game losing streak. At some point, they have to fix this problem. I don't know how they fix it because they got themselves into a bit of a bind with all of these large contracts they signed for their core players, the Canes, the Taves, the Keiths, the Seabrooks, the Crawfords. This has to be remedied. I really don't know how they remedy it, quite frankly, because in the olden days, the answer would have been to trade one or two of these great players to a team for a bundle of prospects or a bundle of draft picks and sort of recoup something on your assets. But most of these guys have got no trade or no movement clauses, and whether somebody like Patrick Kane or Jonathan Taves or Duncan Keith or Crawford perhaps might agree to go someplace else with an opportunity to win a Stanley Cup or at least contend for a while, unless one of those guys steps forward and says, I don't mind moving on if it helps me and helps the Blackhawks, I think they're in for some pretty tough times over the next few years, unfortunately.
All right, then let's move on now to Premier League soccer, guys.
Well, there's one big game this week. We've looked at the standings a number of times, and we've kind of said that there's three or four divisions in this Premier League. There's your top two, which is Liverpool and Manchester City. Then you've got a group of three, Tottenham, Chelsea, and Arsenal. Then you've got a fairly good-sized group of eight. And then you get to that bottom group where there's another seven teams that are all fighting for those, well, I shouldn't say fighting, but fighting to avoid those three relegation spots. The big game this week, Manchester United playing in Liverpool at Anfield. Big chance for Manchester United to get back into this and show that they can still run with the big boys. A good chance for Liverpool to win and continue to cement that hold on first place over Manchester City, who lost their first game last week to Chelsea.
So now, how would you ascribe to how Liverpool sort of just brought it up a notch? I mean, it's the same core players. They still have Mo Salah, who's probably the best player in the Premier League right now. Or is it just Manchester City just kind of slipping ever so slightly?
I think it's a little bit of both, Steve, to be very honest with you. I don't see Manchester City falling from grace too far, but every team has a bad game. I think they had that bad game on Sunday against Chelsea. But Liverpool, certainly a strong team. I think Klopp has done a wonderful job in building that team up. I mean, they were a middle-of-the-road team for a number of years, always on the outside knocking on that door. Now they seem to have not only moved in, but they seem to have taken charge. So I think it's a good thing. Liverpool, a historic team, many Premier League and First Division championships. Good to see them back on top.
Now, how about West Ham? If you think about them, you know, not that they're in the top echelon, but they were probably about to get knocked out last year, and they've really risen to the middle of the pack. They've gotten solid, and they've gotten some pretty good play out of their players.
West Ham is a funny team. You know, they tend to play well for a little while, and you think they may have turned the corner. Then they go out and play three or four bad games in a row, and you wonder just what progress they have made. I think they're where we see them now, I think, is probably where they stay. Middle of the table. They're sitting 11th right now, which is about as close to the middle of the table as you're going to get. I just don't think they're a good team. I don't think they're bad enough to drop down, but I don't think they're close enough yet to challenge the top teams. And they're obviously still getting used to playing in that new stadium that was built for the Olympic Games. The Commonwealth Games, and I think they miss Upton Park, quite frankly. That was very much a solidarity place for West Ham to play. It was a very intimate place. The fans were very close to the pitch. It's the new stadium is in a slightly different part of London, which has probably eliminated the possibility or the opportunity for some of their fans to make that trip and watch them play. So they probably have got a few new fans. They've lost a few old fans. But at the end of the day, I just think West Ham's a middle-of-the-road team and not a whole lot more.
Well, and as you said, you have alluded to the fact that you're playing in a different stadium. It can have a detrimental effect on you. Doesn't seem to have affected Tottenham. They're playing at Wembley this year, right? While their stadium's getting rebuilt.
Well, yeah, but you look at what happened to Tottenham when they first moved to Wembley, Steve. They couldn't win there. It's taken them a little while to get used to it. And with all due respect to West Ham, Tottenham's got a lot more experience, a lot more talented players. They should be able to adjust a lot more quickly than the West Ham guys have done. But at the end of the day, I just think West Ham is where they belong, in the middle of the table.
All righty.
Okay, John. Well, thanks very much. We will do it again next week. From Toronto, John Poulter, you have a great remainder of your week, my friend.
Yeah, my pleasure, guys. Take care, and we'll chat next week.
All right, and we want to thank Dan Wiederer, the Bears beat reporter for the Chicago Tribune, for appearing here on the show. Steve Leventhal from SRN Broadcasting in Chicago, John Poulter from Toronto. And remember, you can hear the show on demand at internetfm.com and kwwradio.com. Want to thank you for listening. Have a great week. Take care. Bye now.
Bye-bye.
Goodbye.
Keep your feet in the ground and keep reaching for the stars.
That's right, tough guy.
Bye-bye.
Get the Bears come back.
Goodbye.
Tell you what, Dipstick, you can just come on down here and smooch my big old white butt. Pucker up, Buttercup.
Yeah, I hear you, Fruitcake.
Oh, it's hopeless. I ought to club them and eat their bones.
Goodbye.
Now you ladies, carry on.
Excellent.
See you later, pal. I'm going home.
Wait a minute.
Well, I'm glad that's over. Now it's over.
Good night, ladies.
Good night, sir.
Let's get out of here.